I thought that what we would talk about tonight is, what we would do is a little exercise in finding the antecedent to pronouns. This is a grammatical exercise. And if we remember back from our grammar days, I'll define three terms. A noun is a person, place, or thing. A pronoun is a word that takes the place of a noun. The examples of pronouns are we, us, they, them. And an antecedent is a word that a pronoun refers to. So the reason why I thought we would do this study is for particularly four verses. And if we'll get our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'll start reading in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the purpose of this exercise is to find out who they and them are, pronouns, what their antecedents are, and so we can determine who was filled with the Holy Spirit and who had these tongues of fire placed on them. Because of this misunderstanding of who they are, there is a lot of religious misteaching, unfortunately, that comes about because of determining the wrong antecedents to they and them in these four verses. So in order to be able to determine who they are, we need to start at the first of the book in chapter 1. And we will start tracing this the pronouns and defining what the antecedents are to the pronouns. And we will be able to go all the way through the first chapter of the book of Acts and then be able to determine who they are in chapter 2. So we'll start with Acts 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. The first pronoun is I, which we have to deduce, which we can, who I is. We have two clues here. The former account, O Theophilus, and we could look at Luke chapter 1, verse 3, and find out that Luke wrote the book of the Gospel of Luke to Theophilus. That was the former account, was the Gospel of Luke. This is the second account that Luke wrote to Theophilus. And the reason that he wrote the Gospel of Luke to Theophilus was to tell him all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he who, Jesus, was taken up after he, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he has chosen. So let's pay special attention here to this word apostles here, because this is going to be very important. To whom he, Jesus, also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them, them who? Them apostles from the previous verse. During 40 days, in speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, them who? Them apostles. He commanded them, the apostles, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, Jesus, said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you apostles shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the first clue who this is taught, who they are in Acts 2, verse 1. Now we'll, verse 6 of 1. Therefore, when they, the apostles, had come together, the apostles asked him, Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you apostles to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, in God's own authority. But you apostles shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this power comes from the Greek word dunamis, which we studied last night, which was one of the four words for miracles. And so Jesus was saying, but you apostles shall receive this miraculous power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this is the second clue that we have of who they are in chapter 2. And you apostles shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So they're going to be witnesses to Jesus around the globe. Verse 9. Now when Jesus had spoken these things, while they, the apostles, watched, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of there, the apostles' sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them, the apostles, in white apparel. And these two men are angels, indicated throughout the Bible in white apparel. That tells us that these are angels. So these two angels also said, men of Galilee, well, who are these men of Galilee? These are the apostles. And we need to remember this phrase, men of Galilee, because this is going to come up in the second chapter. Why do you apostles stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you apostles into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Jesus go into heaven. Then they, the apostles, returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they, the apostles, had entered, they, the apostles, went up into the upper room where they were staying. Now, if we had had trouble finding the antecedents of all of these pronouns up to here, Luke names every one of them for us, so we can't miss it up to this point. And there are 11 names here. Peter, James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And this Judas was also known as Thaddeus. So they have the 11 apostles, which this is very critical. We don't have the 12th apostle. We know that Judas Iscariot had already killed himself. And so that is very important to knowing the and understanding the next few verses that come up, particularly verse 15. But we'll continue with 14. These apostles all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with Jesus' brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. So what is going on here? The apostles have called a meeting, and this group of people, of disciples that met, was 120. And they were all come together for one specific purpose that Peter will tell us about here briefly. And so Peter says, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Judas. For he, Judas, was numbered with us apostles." And this is very critical. This is not the 120. "Judas was numbered with us apostles and obtained a part in this ministry," the apostleship ministry. And so if the us was, if someone felt like us, it was not clear who that antecedent was, it definitely clears it up by the end of the verse 17, "in this ministry," that is the apostleship ministry. So Judas was numbered with the apostles. Verse 18, "Now this man Judas purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And that field became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, which and let no one live in it,'" which David, when he wrote this, he probably had no idea who he was talking about, but Peter is saying, this is Judas. "And let another take his office." This is Judas's office since he killed himself. It was very critical that before Jesus sends the Holy Spirit and that they were going to receive this power, Judas's these passages must be fulfilled. And so there would be the 12 apostles, and Judas would have his replacement. That is the purpose of this group of 120 people that were assembled here from verse 15. And that was their only purpose. And so the apostles were going to choose eligible candidates from these 120. Peter continues in verse 21. "Therefore, of these men," these replacement potential men who are coming out of this group of 120, "who have accompanied us apostles all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us apostles, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us apostles. One of these replacement potentials for Judas's office, must become a witness of with us apostles of his resurrection. And they," the apostles, "proposed to." So it we can infer that they only proposed to, that those were the only eligible candidates, and that they were equally qualified, both of these men. And I also want to point out one other thing here. I'll kind of jump ahead just a little bit. But these apostles did three things here in succession. Verse 23, they proposed to. Verse 24, they prayed and said. And verse 26, they, the apostles, cast their lots. So the apostles proposed to, they prayed, and the apostles cast their lots. Those three things. And that's also very important to understand in finding the antecedent and tracing this pronoun to figuring out who they are in Acts 2. So back to 23. "And the apostles proposed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Joseph, and Justus, and Matthias. And they," the apostles, "prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, who knows the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. So, again, we can infer that both of these men were equally qualified for the office, but they were going to cast a lot and allow God to choose which one of these equally qualified men. Which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they, the apostles, cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he, Matthias, was numbered with the 11 apostles. And this, notice the last word in this chapter is apostles. So we go right into chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they the apostles, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they, the apostles, were sitting. Then there appeared to them, the apostles, divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, the apostles. And they, the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, that is, languages that they had never learned, this miraculously, as the Spirit gave them, the apostles, utterance. So, now we can clearly see by tracing the pronoun all the way from the first part of Acts 1 all the way through, it's much easier to see who these were and the only ones that received this gift of the Holy Spirit, the direct falling on of the Holy Spirit, and who it was that was speaking in other tongues. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them, the apostles, speak in his, these devout Jews, own language. Then they, the Jews, were all amazed and marveled and said to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And this is why I pointed out from chapter 1, verse 11, the angels called them men of Galilee. This is another confirmation that these are the 12 apostles. In verse 7, it's referred, these devout Jews referred to them as Galileans. Same terminology. Verse 8, how is it then that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes on to list all the different areas that these devout Jews came from. Let's jump to verse 14. And we get one last confirmation here about to fully clarify if there needs to be any more clarification of who they were that received this Holy Spirit at the first part of Acts 2. Verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11. So who were these that were speaking in these different languages that they had never learned, these tongues, so to speak? It was the 12 apostles. And Peter stood up with the 11. There were no one else there. There was no part of this 120. It was only the apostles. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these men, these apostles, are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this is what I want to leave us with tonight. This will lead into what I plan to speak on tomorrow night. From the prophet Joel, verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And the part that I want to focus on is that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This was part of that flesh tonight in Acts 2 that it just happened on the Jews. But that was not all. The completion of this passage will come from Acts chapter 10 when the Gentiles receive this exact falling on, direct falling on of the Holy Spirit that these apostles received here at the first part of Acts 2. So we will conclude our lesson at this time, and Lord willing, tomorrow night we will pick up in Acts chapter 10. At this time, let's stand and sing.